it's fascinating how very often from one detail in Torah, what would seem like an insignificant nuance, one can actually discover the fundamental theme of the entire subject. The opening of Sefer Dvarim, the first pasuk of the final book of Chumash, reads in source number 1, Eila hadvarim ashadibir Moshe kol Yisrael beiver hayarim. These are the words Moshe speaks to all of the Jewish people in the Transjordan, on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Bamidbar ba'arava ma'ilsuv bein paron uvein toifel v'lovam b'chatzeres v'dizahav. Quite a few words to describe a geographical location. In the desert, in the Arava, etc. So Rashi says that we looked for all of these places, we couldn't find them, thank you. But what Moshe was referring to was a certain event that happened either in each of these places or an event that is represented by these names. Vidizaha, for example, refers to the Chet HaEgel, to the creation of the golden calf, which happened because of Daizah, because they had too much gold. There was an excessiveness of gold. What does he say on Bachatzeres? Bachatzeres, he says, B'machlekoisoi shel Korach. Chatzeres, Moshe is referring to and rebuking the Jewish people in his words about the fight, the mutiny of Korach. What's the connection between Chatzeres and Korach? So some say that the story of Korach happened in a place called Chatzeres. Yet it's interesting. When it comes to the Chet HaEgel, the way the Torah refers to it is by a thematic connection. It's made from gold. There was too much gold. When it comes to Korach, the way Moshe intimates it is, not discussing what happened, but the location. Chatzeres. Unless the word Chatzeres captures the essence of Korach's revolt against Moshe. That's the word, therefore, that Moshe chooses when he wants to describe the mutiny of Korach. The very word Chatzeres tells the whole story. Chatzeres means courtyards. Chatzeres. Courtyards, open places behind homes. How would that capture the story of Korach? Let's learn a Gemara. Source number 2, Zog the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yedalet, Amud Beis, Shabbos 14b, and the same Gemara is in Erevin, Chaf Aleph Beis, Erevin 21b. Fascinating Gemara. Rishah, Shetikin, Shloime, Erevin, and Atilas Yedayim. When Shlomo HaMelech instituted the two rabbinic mitzvahs, Erevin and Erev, and the Tilas Yadayim, washing of the hands before bread, Yotzes HaBaskol V'Yomra, a heavenly voice came out and declared, a pasuk in Mishlei, thank you, a pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Chav Gimel, Proverbs 23, says the pasuk, B'ni, my son, Im Chocham Libecha, Yismach Libi Gam Oni. If your heart is wise and mature, it makes my heart happy as well. The father speaks to the son and says, your success brings me so much joy and simcha. If your heart in chacham libecha, trust me, my heart rejoices equally, even if your wisdom surpasses mine. Comes the Gemara and says, you know what this pasuk is referring to? A baskel that came out with a fashem. God speaks about Shlomo HaMelech and says, ah, look how smart, look how brilliant, look how much chachma my son has, and it brings tremendous joy to my heart. When? When Shlomo instituted the two mitzvahs, Erevin and Netilas Yadav. What is the Gemara referring to? There are three types of Erevs in Halacha. There's what's called Eruvei Chumen, Eruv Tafshilin, and Eruve Chatzeres. What we actually call an Erev in modern slang is not really the classical term of an Erev. What we call an Erev is encircling encircling a place, whether it's a city or a neighborhood or a colony or a complex, whatever it is, to really turn it into a private domain or a Rishus Hayachid. So either you put a wall around it, a fence around it, or there's the mechanism of what's called Tzuras HaPesach, the form of a door, etc. The classic term of Eruv is something else. Eruv v'chatzeres, and let's see a summation of it very beautifully and thoroughly in the Shulchan Aruch, source 3, Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Shulchan Aruch of the Balatanya, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi, Oyer HaChayim, Simen, Shin Samach Vav, Seif Aleph. It's basically based on a Rashi in Shabbos and Eruvin, but he develops it very clearly. Says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Chotzer, and this is one of the most practical halachas in contemporary Jewish life, as it always was. Chotzer shahar beit batu psuchim l'soich. You have a courtyard, and many homes open up into this yard. We have maybe an apartment building, and we all of our homes open up to the public hallway, or we have a courtyard outside. It is Muncie, it's not Brooklyn, we could speak about outdoors. You have many homes, and they open up to a courtyard where everybody plays, or walks, or hangs out. Mutter min ha-teir le-talto b'chol ha-chotzer, of course, min ha-teir you can carry in the entire courtyard. U-min ha-batem le-chotzer. And from the homes to the courtyard, it's a complete private domain, it's fenced in, it's a private courtyard. There may be 50 homes that use it, there may be 5 homes that use it, there may be 200 people in the courtyard on a nice Shabbos afternoon. But so what? It's a private domain, it's a Rishus Hayachid, it's fenced in, it has 4 walls perfect. The Chachamim, and now we know from the Gemara, who was it? It was Shlomo HaMelech. When you say sages, it doesn't always mean Chachamim in the times of the Gemara. Over here, Chachamim refers to Shlomo HaMelech. The Chachamim instituted, because the Chachamim represent the members of the Beis Din, of the Jewish Supreme Court, already from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, you have Chachamim. Chachamim asru l'taltom l'batim l'chatzir, actually the Chachamim prohibited any one of the residents or guests to carry from the home into the courtyard until they make an Erev, which he's going to explain. Why? Why? What's the problem? Because the homes are distinct individual properties. Every person has his or her home. Where the courtyard is a domain that is shared by everyone, by all of the homes. You may have 50 homes, you may have 500 people there, or even 2 homes. But doimek tzas, the Rishus HaRabim, the chotzer is similar to a public domain in the sense, not all 500 people are coming into my house, but everybody is using the chotzer, using the courtyard, right? And if you have guests, so you have all the guests, if you have residents, it's constant. The ima, you might see him in abatim lechotzer. And if you would allow the people to carry from the houses to the courtyard, yitu, they may error v'yoyim reru, and they'll say shemutu lohoitzim rishus yachid rishus rabbi. Especially the children growing up, they see every Shabbos afternoon you're carrying toys from your private domain into what seems like a public domain. Is there a big difference between a courtyard that has 100 people playing in it or taking it a few steps further outside, outdoors to the street? Seems the same. What's the solution? The Chachamim allowed you to carry if you make an Erev. Erev literally comes from the word la'arev, to mix. Tarubas, a mixture. Well, what do they do? Shagoyvim pasmi kol bayis ubayis. You collect bread from every single one of the homes, each one. Oy shakoyvim pasmi meshutta bishvil kalan sheyayim. Or you can acquire, you can take money and purchase bread as partnership from all the people of the city, join and buy this bread. Again, this is a city that's circled in, so min ha-teiret ha-rishus ha-yach. V'nois n'maisa b'echad n'bati ha-chatz. And you place all of this bread from each home in one of the homes of the court. V'royim kilu kulam dorim b'yisei b'yis. We view it as though all the residents have a living space in that one home. Why? Matam, why? It's a fascinating observation of Chazal. People's minds is where the food is. Right? This has a lot of practical implications on the Kiddush. people's minds. Daiti shalodim b'dirasai. What do you consider the place where you live, where you have food? The place where you can go and you know you can just eat and nobody's going to charge you. A restaurant is not considered your home. The place where you sit and you just eat, that's where your das is, that's where your home is. So when every one of the residents has food in one home, and any one of us can come in and eat, if you don't let some people come into your house to eat, then there's no area of chatzeres. But we all have a place to eat in your home, because my bread is there, and your bread is there, and your bread is there. So then, so it's as though everybody is living in one, so it's as though the entire courtyard is exclusive for that home. It's not compared anymore to a public domain, because it's as though everybody is living in one home, although this home has many extensions and many rooms and many chambers, but they're all guests in one home. It's like if you have a home and you invite 100 people as a guest for Shabbaton. You don't need to make an Erev Chatzeres. Why? They're all residents of your home. You may put this one up in the basement, and this one up in the attic, and this one up in the second home that you own, but they're all extensions of your home. Essentially, everybody in the courtyard is a resident, are all residents of one home. It's like your family. You're not allowed to have a family. You have to make an Erev Chatzeres with your family, because it's not a Rishon Saraf. And he continues, even to carry from one home into another home, not through the courtyard, is usher without a native. The Chachamim made a fence of Torah, not even to allow people to take out from one home into another home, which is to private property. It's not from the house to the chatzer. Mele, the chatzer has an ear of a public domain. From my house into your house in an apartment building, what's the problem? But if we take out from my house to your house, even though it's both Rishus HaYachid, this is an extra fence that people shouldn't carry into another Rishus HaYachid, so they shouldn't come to a Rishus HaRav. But if they placed an Eruv, they placed bread in one of the homes. It's as though everybody has a residence and that one home has partners. So the whole courtyard has one home. It has 50 homes, 20 homes. All the other homes are seen halachically as rooms, as extensions of this one home. It's like one owner who has many homes. You know, when he's in a good mood, he's in this home. When he's in a bad mood, he goes to that house. He puts up his guest. Today, everybody, people have guest houses, right? So you have a guest house. It's still your home. You pay the taxes. Ba'kol reshus achas. And it's all one domain. This is called a Eruvei Chatzeres. This is the classic Eruv. Why is it called a Eruvei Chatzeres? It's a courtyard with many homes, and you mix them all together. You make one cholent, literally one cholent. Everybody can come eat cholent with a little bread in one home. This is the classic din of Eruvin, and often, I was once, people often don't realize this detail of Eruv, which is really the classic Eruv. I was once invited for a Shabbaton, a big Shabbaton. It's a big complex, you know, big camp area with a lot of different families, and the person who was in charge tells me that they came already a few days before and they built strings and sticks all around the camp to make it a perfect Rosh Hashayachid, and everything was wonderful, and therefore you can carry everywhere. So he says it's a perfect Eruv. I said, what about an Eruv Chatzeres? So he said, what's that? He didn't realize. He thought an Eruv means it's a confined area. Even after you have a confined area, you settle the Rishus HaYachid problem. It's not a Rishus HaRab, or it's not a Carmelis, it's a Rishus HaYachid. But you still have an issue that many people, many homes are sharing one domain. And if they're eating together, there's an interesting story I once heard from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. His father got smicha from Reb Chaim Briske. His father's name was Reb Levi Yitzchok Schneerson. He became the rabbi of a large city in the Ukraine called Yekaterinoslav, and after the Bolshevik Revolution, it was changed to Dnepropetrovsk, because he couldn't have any names that represent the old Russian regime. I mean, the old Russian Tsarist regime. Yekaterinoslav was named after Catherine the Great. Everything had to be changed. Of course, Petersburg, which was named after Peter the Great, had to be changed to Leningrad. You know, this was the perfect communist way of dealing with history. It never happened, it never existed. So he was the Rav of that city. And he got smicha. He had smicha from the Rebbe Yochayim Meisel of Lodz, I believe. And one of them was Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Briske. Zeche Tzadik Levrach. And so the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, because Reb Chaim Briske knew who my father was, he was a Shneyesen. So, Etem Gamatet, you know, he was a Chassidish Rebbe. Reb Chaim Briske was the quintessential descendant of the world of Lita, of the great Torah world of Lithuania, said, Etem Gemutschet. And he was very impressed with him. And he gave him smicha for Rabbonis. See, part of the smicha was, it wasn't just an exam. Chaim had him sit. And people who came to ask Shilas, he had him answer the Shilas. A real classic shimush. So he said it was Sukkot's time. I guess this was in the city of Bris. Yeah, Bris. And a Yid came running to Reb Chaim. What's the problem? It's Cholamoyit. It's Shabbos. And they forgot to make an Erev Chatzeres. Nobody's eating in the house. Everybody's eating in the sukkah. To go to the sukkah, you're going to the, you know, it's a courtyard. Everyone is sharing the sukkah. So everybody's carrying. They forgot to make an Erev Chatzeres before Shabbos. It's already Shabbos. Shabbos Cholamoyit or Shabbos Yom Tov. Probably Shabbos Yom Tov. What do we do? So Reb Chaim turns to Reb Levi Yitzchak Shneyesen. They call him Reb Levi. And he says, Paskin. So he says right away, he says, the sukkah alein is ma'arif. They're all eating in one place. The whole idea is you put the food in one home, so we all have food in your home. And since we all have food in your home, we all share that home, so to speak. Here, since they're all eating in one place, so the sukkah alein is ma'arif. Chaim was very taken by the answer. He was very impressed with the answer. So I want certain Lubavitcher Rebbe said at the yard site of his father, of Avreinu. I think late then it wasn't printed in Russia, at least in the Ukraine, but I think somebody noted that. I think the Meiri writes it, the Beis Apchir, Rabbeinu Amiri, I think he writes this. Al Kopan, who was Mesakin Eruvei Chatzeres? Now we know Shloimeh HaMelech. But today I ask you a question. Why did the Baskel come out and say on this, if you're wise, my heart rejoices as well. So, there's a beautiful interpretation, a famous interpretation of the Rebbe of Kotz. That's this. Shlomo HaMelech, by the way, instituted other things. Yeah, a lot of things. But on Eruvin and Atilus Yadayim. Now, no question, Eruvin Chatzeres was a great institution in Jewish life. Allows the kids to play together on Shabbos, not only in one home, but public places. Obviously, I think the Rashi says that Shlomo HaMelech was basically giving a great service, making life easier for the Jewish people. The Shulchan Aruch says, Shulchan Aruch Erechayim Simen Shin Samach Vav Sif Yud Gimel Mitzvah Lachzer Acher Eruvin Chatzeres. It's a mitzvah to make an Erev Chatzeres. This is already from the Rishonim, from Arami Rothenburg, from Mordechai, the Tor. It's a mitzvah to make an Erev. It's a mitzvah, it's a great thing. The reason is, the Poskim explain, the Shulchan Aruch Arav brings, the Mishnah Brura brings, so people shouldn't come to carry into the Chatzer. But it's a mitzvah to do it. But yet, it generated a unique response from heaven. So there's a beautiful, interesting part from the Kotzke Rebbe, and really a perspective on life. It's brought, I saw it in a Sefer Emes Ve'emuna. Let me quote it. He quotes the Gemara, B'shash, Tikin Shleim, Evin, Tozidayim, Yatsus Abaskav, Amrim, Pnim, Chacham, Libcha, Libecha, Yismach, Libigaman. Umawa Chachma Baza. What is the grace of Chachma? Halei Shleim, Amalach, Halei Vashalom, Tikin, Gam, Sharin, Yaman. Shleim instituted also other things. Why is this called Chachma? Achatoyr Ramza. Erevin and Atilas Yadayim. It's two things. Erevin and Atilas Yadayim. Zeh Chachma HaGdoyla. This is a great Chachma. Not Erevin and Atilas Yadayim. Either or both. Erevin and Atilas Yadayim. Together. Why? Liyos Mu'urav B'davar. to be mixed into something, v'liyis naki, and to remain pure. Now you have to figure this out. There are two philosophies in life. One philosophy in life is netilas yadayim. I keep my hands clean. I keep my soul clean. I keep my mouth clean. You know how? You don't hang around people. You stay away. When you live in isolation, you live in a cocoon, you're not involved in communal affairs, you could remain erlich, honest, straight. Toiv la shamayim, toiv la priyas. You don't shmuz, you don't get into conversations. Netilas yadayim, before you touch anything, you make sure you wash your hands again and again and again, because you know there's germs everywhere, there's bacteria everywhere. Keep yourself clean. There's another philosophy in life. It's called Eiruvin. We call it the social people, the Eiruvin. You mix. The Gemara says in Ksuvus, Yitzayin lo'olam tei daitoi mu'rev, daitoi so the mu'rev is in Abriyas. You're a mu'rev. You mixed it. You're involved in people's lives. You're involved in community affairs. You connect. You're integrated. Eiruvin. You have a chatzer. You make sure that everyone is part of that chatzer. And everyone is in your house. And the two are not simple. For them to coexist is not simple. The great chachma of Shlomo HaMelech is to be able to be mu'uruf, to be able to have eiruvin, and still to blibe rain, to be able to remain clean in life. Beautiful, beautiful insight. That's the great chachma. To be able to be integrated, connected, close, intimate, and yet to be able to remain a pure soul. To be able to remain an erlich human being. To really be able to remain loyal to your soul, to your conscience, to your God, to truth. And that coexistence takes chachma. This is the Kotzke Rebbe's avort. Comes Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, what was the sin of Korach? One word. Chatzeres. Chatzeres. What did Shlomo HaMelech do? He made Eiruv Chatzeres. And this is what generated the Baska. Let's explore what's possibly a deeper interpretation in all of this. So, let's get to Korach. Let's get to Korach. When you read Korach's words, Korach stages a rebellion against Moshe, and his words are really, in many ways, very beautiful. The next source, Korach Pedik Tazayim Pasa Gimel, Korach comes to Moshe and Aaron, and what does he say? Rav Lachem, enough! Kol Ha'eda Kulam Kedoshim U'Besoichem Hashem U'Madua Tisnasu Al Kahal Hashem. All of Klal Yisrael is holy. The Ribbono Shel Olam dwells among every single Jew. B'toichem Hashem, why do you segregate yourself? Why are you arrogant? Why do you exalt yourself on the congregation of God? This is the way Korach stages his chief complaint against Moshe. And remember, this wasn't just, he wasn't a lone wolf. Torah says he gathered 250 prominent, distinguished leaders of old, who all joined the revolt, besides, of course, Dasan and Aviram, who always were in front as a good fight. You know, you always know when there's a machlokes, there'll be two people who'll be part of it, no matter what. It's not even... Right, they say, one man tells his friend, he says, let's make actors. He says, I'm Kegivem. You know, let's unify. The question is against whom? You always have to have against whom you're going to unify. Actors, sure, but somebody has to be a target. What is Korach saying? What is Korach saying? Ostensibly, his words ring with a romantic and a poetic truth. Why is there a need for distinctions, for demarcations, for categories? Why can't the world be one? Why can't we all be one? Why can't there be what we call real achdus, real cohesiveness, real unity? There's no Moshe, there's no Aaron, there's no unique positions, there's no hierarchy. Everyone is part of Hashem, everyone is holy. Gevaldik, imagine! No borders, no distinctions. Distinctions create competitiveness, jealousy, politics, corruption. We all know that. This is Korach's time. And yet the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Kol ha-machzik b'machloikus, Somebody who holds on to any machloik because he's over on a lav. Which lav? One second. If I make a machloikis about an air condition, what does that do with kairach? Any machloikis, I'm replicating kairach. This means kairach didn't just argue. Kairach was the epitome of machloikis. Any machloikis, we could be fighting over who gets mafta next Shabbos. Right? Or we could be fighting over a building. Or whatever we're fighting about, a Yerusha. It's all kairach. What does that do with kairach? Every machloikis has to do with kairach. This means kairach didn't just fight about something. Kairach represents the essence of machloikis. I ask you a question, does this make sense? Kairach is screaming, achdus, achdus, achdus. Quite literally, pshutei shel mikra. Everybody is holy. Every yid is holy. Stop the segregation. What do you have to sit in Mizrach? What do you have to sit on stage? What's this thing? I don't like it. As Rashi says, God spoke to everybody at Har Sinai. Everybody heard Hashem. Everyone is a Navi. Everybody heard a Navi. Now I can understand you could tell me Kairach was wrong. But why does he embody Machloikas? Any Machloikas? Kairach. Even today you want to speak about a Baal Machloikas, you say he's a Kairach. He fought about something. This means that Kairach's complaint, although at the surface seemed as a call for unity, essentially was, whether intentionally or unintentionally, is almost irrelevant. It was a call for machloikis. It was a call for fragmentation. And why? Why is it? What's the reason for that? The reason for that is because Kairach made two mistakes. And the two mistakes are still made today, thousands of years later. One is, he misunderstood what unity is. And number two, he misunderstood what leadership is. And because of that, he called for no leadership. And he called for absolute unity as a result. Maduotis nasu al kalashem. And what Torah says, when you don't understand what unity is, and you don't understand what leadership is, essentially this is the genesis of machloikis. Machloikis means you don't understand what unity is and how unity works, and therefore the only way to deal with your life is through divisiveness, through fragmentation, through disputation. Because what does real unity mean? Does unity mean that people are not different? Does unity mean that there's no individuality in society? When it says in Pirkei Avos, Ba'asorim Amoris Nivra Ha'olam, Hashem created the world through 10 utterances, not B'maimer Echad, not through one utterance. Essentially what that means is that every single creature, not just in the human race, in the animal kingdom, in the botanic world, in the inanimate world, Doimim, Tzemei, Echai, Medaber, every single creature is unique, is distinctive, is individual, is individuated. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Lamed Zayin, the Mishnah, Kashem, Shem, Partzufei, and Shabbos, Kachin, Dei, Yisei, and Shabbos. No two faces have ever looked alike, and no two minds have ever functioned alike. And as the Kotzker Rebbe also once said, what's the comparison? He says, nobody gets upset when somebody else doesn't look like them. I never heard a guy come over to Shul and say, you know, when are you going to look like me already? Why does your nose have to be so different than mine? We're happy that nobody looks like, ah, Ma, you're you. So he says, so why do you get so upset that somebody doesn't think like you? He doesn't look like you. She doesn't look like you. So why do they have to think like you? That I can't accept. You have to agree with me. But the yesod of the Bria, the fundamental element of creation is, even in families, even in close-knit societies and communities, there's no two people, no two things, no creatures alike. And the way to fulfill your purpose in creation is not by replicating somebody else, and by copying somebody else, and by losing your individual traits, but it's rather by you fulfilling the purpose for which you were sent down to the world, which is different than anybody else. Although there are, of course, commonalities and common denominators between all of society, what we call the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noyach, the basic code of morality. And among the Jewish people, there are, of course, the commonalities of Matan Torah, Maimon Har Sinai, Kayad Mitzvahs, etc., the constitution of Judaism. But within that world, within that world, every person has their life story, their genetic makeup, their unique environment, their nature and their nurture, their blessings and their challenges, their gifts and resources and virtues and vices, their unique chemical makeup and composition, their physiological makeup, their spiritual makeup, their psychological makeup, their emotional makeup. And no two people are the same. And on one hand, and it's difficult for a person to be able to say it in simple terms, to be able to become comfortable in your own skin, to be able to become comfortable knowing who you are and who you're not. Who you are and who you're not. Unity cannot be achieved by making believe there's no differences. Because that unity is superficial. Because when the differences emerge, there goes the unity. It's like a chasen and a kal, a groom and a bride get engaged. I was once, Chassan Akala came to see me, so I asked him why they got engaged. So the Chassan tells me, he says, because we're mamish identical. We're mamish identical. It's like the same person. Gewaldig, right? Gewaldig. I smiled. In my heart I said, you know, come back in a few years, let me see how identical you are. I don't mean to be cynical. There is a beautiful romantic feeling that you and I are mamish one and there's no differences. But for real achdus to be maintained in long term, you have to appreciate unity despite diversity and unity within diversity. As much as we're one, there's also respect for space. We spoke a few weeks ago, you remember, about Talmidei Rebbe Akiva, Lo'inagu kavod zeh bazeh. There's love and there's respect. Ahava is the gematria echad, 13. We're one. There's also respect. You are you, I am I. This is not narcissism or selfishness. You can't expect the lion to live like the sheep. And you can't expect the bird to run like the deer. And you can't expect Pharaoh's horses winning races to become elephants. And you can't expect one child in your family to be another child in your family. And you can't expect men and women to be identical. Or cultures to be identical. Or every person to be like somebody else. Chayav Adam Loimar, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Is that selfish? It's not selfish. It means there's something at stake in the drama of history that only you can contribute to. Because of your story, your unique story. You know, they tell the anecdote that Emperor Joseph II from Austria came to a symphony by Mozart. Problem was that the emperor was somewhat tone deaf, so what do you do by a symphony? It's like what Jews do during the Rav's Derusha. It's called Shlof. So he falls asleep. Nobody here, of course, but you know, in theory, at least in other places. So he finishes the symphony and Emperor Joseph II thanks Mozart. He says, you did a wonderful job, but too many notes. Too many notes. Man, I often hear it. I good to see it, but too long. Very good, but too long, too many notes. So he says, Your Majesty, Mozart says, Your Majesty, which one do you suppose I cut? For the true composer, there is not a note that's too many. Every note is indispensable. Which one do you want I should cut? You come to a father and mother that have 12 children. And you say, give up one. And really, which one? Which one is less? Which one is dispensable? For the Ribbono Shel Olam, every person, every soul, every creature, it's indispensable. In its unique mission, contribution, and design. Basara Mamoris Nibra'ilam, not the Maimer Echad. Maimer Echad would mean there's oneness. But there's Asara, and the Asara Mamoris themselves. Each one has letters, and each one has Shara Yichud Vemuni, discusses Chilufim, Tzirufim, Tmuris, from which all creatures ultimately come. In other words, there's a unique Dvar Hashem, there's a unique divine energy for every single Nivra in the world, and of course for every single person in the world. So what is unity? Unity is recognizing that despite our diversity, There is something you contribute and there's something I contribute. Each of us is a giver and taker. Each of us is a mashpia and a mekabel. I receive from you and you receive from me. And to the contrary, if I deny your individuality, I'm ultimately depriving myself from the gift that you can give me. If I want you to be me, ultimately I become more impoverished. It's like in a beautiful relationship, the fact that you're different, that's a blessing, it's not a curse. It allows each one to expand their horizons and gain the depth and the wisdom and the perception from the other person. There's a t-shirt I once saw, I'm very easy to get along with once you learn to worship me. You know, that's one model. If you worship me, then we get along. But the greatness in life is unity within diversity. But the truth is that there's something even deeper about Achdus. And here we come to the true idea of leadership in Yiddishkeit. What is leadership? What is real leadership in Yiddishkeit? Korach, I can't blame him. Korach was living 3,000 years ago and changed, 3,300 years ago. He was accustomed to what leadership looked like in society. And he didn't understand that Moshe introduces a new type of leadership. And it's in one word in Parshas Balayischa, right before Korach. Va'ish Moshe, onav mi'oid mikol adam asher apnei adam. The most powerful person is the most humble person, a paradox. Korach doesn't understand that. Until today, we often don't understand the nature of leadership. And it's not always our fault. Not all leaders can really impart that lesson of leadership to us. But what does this really mean? What is the leader? The true level of unity comes from understanding this. All of the universe comes from one source. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Koyach HaPoyel B'Nifl means the stamp of the Creator is in the creation. The Creator is one, so the creation is also one. But the oneness of creation is not displayed through everybody being the same. The oneness of creation is displayed by everybody being different, and together we create one large picture, like a jigsaw puzzle. Imagine one piece of the jigsaw puzzle turns to the other piece and says, why do I keep bumping into you? Why can't you just look like me? So the person takes the puzzle, and in order to make shalom and achdus, he cuts all the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle until they all look beautiful. Wow, not beautiful, alike. There's only one problem. What's the picture? There's no picture being created. By this piece being this shape, and this piece being this shape, and they come together, each one contributing their unique role to the puzzle, the larger picture is created. Imagine in a body, a human organism, right? The heart really gets upset with the nose and says, why can't you be like me? Genug schmecken! Start pumping blood and working like a mensch. Or the heart gets upset and the brain. Genug getracht! Maybe you get to work. Stop thinking. Or is it just taka? Why does my body have to be? Why can't everything just be one? So of course you make a surgery and every limb and organ looks exactly like the other limb and organ. And the end of the story is he's got all these kadash. Shaitan is one organism. It's one. It's one story. It's called life. But for life to happen, the brain has to be the brain, and the eyes have to be the eyes, and the liver has to be the liver, and the teeth have to be the teeth, and the legs have to be legs, and the arms have to be arms, etc., etc., etc. And by each one being unique and individual, and yet recognizing that the other one has their unique contribution, and we're really one, we come from Hashem Echad, we recreate a single, unified, holistic picture of oneness, representing Hashem Echad in the diversity of creation. So are we one? Of course we're one. How are we one? We're one the more we can recognize our source. And the more we can recognize the relationship of our source to our lives, to our concrete lives, the more oneness we create within ourselves, within our psyches, within our families, within our communities, within our larger communities, within the Jewish world, and ultimately within the entire world, as we describe in Aleinu. Hashem Echad, Shmoy Echad, Az Epoch Chalamim, the famous Pasuk. Likre Kula Meshem Hashem, Ma'avdai Shechem Echad. Or as Rashi puts it, fascinating Rashi, even though we say it many, many times a day, often people don't realize what Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Every time you say Shema Yisrael, you're really talking about Mashiach. Rashi says, Shema Yisrael, hear Israel. Hashem Elokeinu, the God that is our God, one day it's going to be Hashem Echad. It's not going to be our God. It's going to be Hashem Echad. The consciousness of the world will recognize the Echad, the Achdus. Everything is really one, because the more you could see the Koyach HaKoyel, the stamp of the Creator in creation, the imprint of godliness in creation, the more unity. The more you go away from the source, the less unity. What then is the function of the leader? Why is there a leader? Why is there a leader? Kalei the kulam gdoisha. The function of the leader, this is what Koyrach misunderstands. And I think the best way to describe it is through an illustration. And the first time I came across this, it really made it very real for me. The most famous building in the ancient world was what? It's still a great tourist attraction. The Egyptian pyramids. These were more than just buildings. They were statements in stone of a hierarchical social order. Take a look at the pyramids. What do they look like? They're wide at the base and they're narrow at the top. Wide, narrower, narrower, narrower until you have that peak of the pyramid on the top. What does this represent? On the top, who do you have? You have the king. You have the pharaoh. That's the place where heaven and earth, they believe, met. Because Pharaoh was like, you know, a demigod, at least in his eyes. And beneath him, you have a series of elites. And beneath them, you have the laboring masses. And the masses carry on their shoulders, they serve the elites, who serve the higher elites, who all serve the higher elites, until you reach the peak, which is Pharaoh. This was the way they understood the very nature of the universe. The universe is organized based on some principles. The sun ruled the heavens. The lion ruled the animal kingdom. He was the king of the jungle. And the king ruled the nation. This is how nature dictates it. This is how it must be. Yiddishkeit was a protest against this perspective. Take a look at the great symbol of biblical Israel, the menorah. What does the menorah look like? The menorah is exact opposite. The menorah is the inverted pyramid. It's broad on the top, it's narrow on the bottom. Who is the leader? The leader is on the bottom, carrying the masses. Where do we see this? A story in Gemara. Fascinating story. Take a look in Hoyrius of Yud Amar Aleph. It's a few sources down. Zog the Gemara. Ki hod Reb Gamliel v'Reb Yeshua ha'azli b'svinos. Reb Gamliel and Yeshua were traveling on a boat. Bahad did Reb Gamliel have a pita. Reb Gamliel had bread. Bahad did Reb Yeshua have a pilta v'sulta. Reb Yeshua had bread and flour. Shalom piti de Reb Gamliel, the bread of Reb Gamliel was finished. Samach asulti de Reb Yeshua. Now he had to rely on the flour of Reb Yeshua. Reb Yeshua had vision. He knew this might be a long journey. The bread will either finish, and if you take more bread, what's going to happen? It's going to get moldy. So he brought flour, and that way he can always have what to eat. Amalei, Reb Gamliel tells Reb Yeshua, Mi ava yadata avalon ikuve kula haide isse sultan. How did you know that we are going to be delayed on this journey so long that you brought flour? Because you know if you brought extra bread, it'll become moldy. Amalei, Reb Yeshua says, Koichav echad l'shivim shana oilo mate sasaponim. There's a star that comes up once in 70 years and it confuses all the captains. V'amarti, I said, Shema Yala V'yite. My astronomical cheshboid is the star may come up now and it'll confuse our captain. We're going to get lost. So we speak in English about Halley's Comet, but it's not Halley. Rabbi Yeshua, almost 2,000 years ago, spoke about the comet that comes up once in 70 years, fascinating. And because the captains were guided by a star that was fixed, and they knew this is the north, this is the south, this is the east, but this star is a flying star, it could be in the north, it could be in the south, he thinks, he looks at the star, he thinks, oh, this is the north. He's confused. And he goes in the wrong direction until he realizes that it's too late. Rabbi Yeshua says, this may happen, we're going to get lost in the sea. I brought extra flour. Not bad. So now the classic Jewish question. Amalei, Rabbi Gamliel says, Kol kach b'yadcha v'atayla b'svina. You're such a genius. And you have to schlep on boats in order to make a little parnasa. A man like you, he can't get into a respectable position somewhere. Amalei, Rabbi Yeshua says, Achata tama alai, tama al shnei talmidim shesh l'chabayabosh. You're wondering about me. Why don't you wonder about two students that you have on dry land? Rabbi Lezer Chisna, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada. Sheyoydim l'shayir kamet tippis yesh bayam ve'inlam pas lecha v'loy begad lilbush. They can estimate how many drops in the sea. That's the nature of their perceptive levels, of their levels of perception. They don't have bread to eat and clothes to wear. Mela, I know about the comet. What about Rabbi Lozah Chisma? Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada? Nosan Daiter, Lo Yeshiva Barosh. And we'll say, that's the guy. I didn't know. We have a Sanhedrin. He decides, he'll pick the leaders. Shalom, when he comes up from the sea, Shalach Lahem, he sends them a message, I want to see you. V'loi bo, they don't come. They know what he wants. They don't need it, they don't want it, they don't crave it. They don't want to be leaders. Chazar v'shalach, he sends them again a bow, they have to come. Amar lahem, he looks at them, he says, let me tell you something. And here are the key words, listen to the words of Rabbi Gamliel, who was himself the leader of the generation, the dynasty of David HaMelech, the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. Amar lahem, he tells them, ki medumin atem sheshrara ani noisim lachem, avdus ani noisim lachem. You think I'm conferring rulership on you? I'm turning you into servants. You think to be a man in Yisrael, to be a Rebbe, to be a Shoyer? Dosan and Aviram uses this word, right? Kisistore roleinu kamistore. Avdus ani noisim lachem. I'm giving you avdus. And he brings a proof. From where? Shenemar. Vayidabru elov lemer. Im tayoyim tiye eved lo mazeh. Let me give you context. Shloima HaMelech, and remember the name, Shloima HaMelech passes away. Who is his son? Rechavah. The nation is split. Should we accept him as a king? They come to him and they say, listen, your father imposed harsh taxes on us. Easy the burden. Rechavah consults two sets of advisors. The old advisors who were still by his father, and his chaverim that he used to play poker with. Or whatever, the young chevre, you know? He went to the schwitz with them, let's put it that way. He ate pizza with them, barbecued with them, something. You know, his young chevre from yeshiva. The old chevre told him these words, listen to their words, and Rabbi Gamliel quotes these words when he hires two people as leaders of the Jewish people. And we have here the pasuk, Malachim, Aleph, Perich, Yud-Bes, Pasuk, Zayin. Unbelievable pasuk. Vayidabru, Elov, Lamer, they told Rechavim these words. If today you will become a servant of these people and you'll speak to them in that way, then they'll accept you as their king, they'll become your servants. Unfortunately, Rechavam does not heed their advice. He heeds the advice of his young colleagues. He tells the people of Israel, I will subjugate you even more than my father, and they stage a revolt which splits the Jewish kingdom between Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Yisrael. Only two tribes remain loyal to Rechavam, Yehuda and Binyamin, and the rest appoint a new king, the famous or infamous Yeravam ben Nevat, who establishes the kingdom in the north, and the split continues for hundreds of years until the Assyrian king exiles the Aseret Hashmatim, and 150 years later the Babylonian emperor destroys the first Beis Hamikdash. It's this split that really changed the dynamics in the first Jewish Commonwealth, which begins with Shaul, David, and Shlomo HaMelech. As a result of this attitude, says Rabbi Gamliel, listen to these words, Im hayom tiyeh eved la'amazeh. Some understand this, it's a cynical comment. Make believe you're a slave today, and tomorrow you'll become the king. It's like when you're running for elections. What do you do when you're running for elections? You take off your tie, you hang out at pubs and farms and in gas stations, you converse with Joe the plumber, read my lips, no taxes, etc. The gist outs, outs. Once they elect you, now you become what you want to become. That's how some people understand. But Rabbi Gamliel doesn't understand it that way. This is a very serious piece of advice. You want to be a melech? You know what a melech is? You're not on the top of the pyramid. You're the menoyer. You're the menoyer. You're an eved la'amazeh. If I can quote Martin Luther King once said, everybody in the world can be great because everybody can serve. In fact, in the Torah, there's only one explicit commandment on one person to be humble, and that's the king, the melech. There's a Gemara in Brachas Lamed Aleph, HaMelech Kivan Shekara Shubin Ezoikif. Every Jew, Yidavich Ben Ezra, you kneel, Baruch Ato, and then you lift up your head by Hashem and you stand erect. There's an exception. A Jewish king, Kivan Shekara, the moment he kneeled by Shemen Esra, he's not allowed to pick up his head till the end of Shemen Esra. Why? Imagine the whole shul, everyone's at the end of state, everyone is standing, and this poor melech is there. If you want, you give him a pack, you give him some malchus if you're upset at him. It's fascinating. Precisely because he's a melech. Korach understood Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership as the pyramid. I'm the leader. You serve me. Your power belongs to me. But Judaism was a revolt against that. Korach is giving maduot isnasu al kahal Hashem. The Torah is giving va'ish Moshe onov mi'oy. Ki meduma atem sheshrara ninoisem lachem. Avdus aninoisem lachem. How does the leader do this? What is this in the leader? What then is the function of a leader? Don't have a leader and don't give me an evet. Let's be all free. We don't need avodim as leaders. For this, I want to learn with you a shtickel tzidkas ha-tzadik from the Tzadik HaKoyin of Lublin. Great Hasidic master, Tzadik HaKoyin of Lublin, passed away, I think, 1900 in the city of Lublin in Poland, has a sefer tzidkas ha-tzadik, ois kuf nun vav, Zakr Tzadik. Now listen, this quote is accurate. Listen to these words. Should probably be mandatory reading for every single yeshiva bocher and every single young Jewish girl. Just as a person ought to believe in God, this is not a pop psychologist giving here a lecture on self-esteem. Feel good. Go to Starbucks, drink a latte, go get a massage. Go biking, do some yoga and Pilates and meditation, and believe in yourself. Rav Tzadik HaKoyin says, Kishein, just as the foundation of Judaism is to believe in God, afterwards, Tzorech Lahamim Ba'atzma, you have to believe in yourself. What does this mean? You have to believe in yourself. He says, Acherkach. Why Acherkach? Two reasons. If you believe in yourself before you believe in God, you may be believing in the wrong self. Number two, maybe equally important, if you really believe in God, you'll believe in yourself. You'll see. Ritzayin Eloimah, Sheyesh La Hashem Yisbarach Eisik Imoy, Sepas Fadi Riboy Mishaloy, look to do business with you. He's involved, he cares. If I could say it in English, he's crazy about you. He needs you, he wants you. V'sheim epoil batel. You're not just an idle worker. Shabin Laila, he's quoting from Yoina. One night you're here, bin Laila Avad. You know, you're just a transient creature. 70, 80, 90, 120 years. What's that in the framework of history? Right? those who believe in the story of evolution, hundreds of millions of years, billions of years, what are you, a little random mutation, you're a mistake, you're not even a statistical error, a little blimp in an infinite cosmos. You were once bacteria. Person dies, he's like an animal, a beast, he's gone, over, perished, done, next. And the person ought to believe his or her soul is crafted, it's molded, it comes, and it's connected to the source of all life, to eternity, to Hashem. But it's not enough. And the Rabbi Mishalayim has pleasure. And it's Mishtasheya. How do I say Mishtasheya? It's hard to translate. Mishtasheya. In Hebrew, you say shashrim are like toys. He toys. But here, he's more than toys. He has tremendous ecstasy, tremendous delight, tremendous tainug when the Jew fulfills his mission, his will. But now he goes to the next point. V'zeh pirush, this is the pshat in the pasuk and b'shalach. We say it every day. V'yaminu b'Hashem u'b'moshe avdoi. How does everyone type this pasuk? They saw the sea split. They believed in Hashem. And who else did they believe in? Moshe, his servant. Says the Tzidkas HaTzadik, Peter Shmoyshe Ritzayim Eloyim Arklal Shishim Riboy Nefoshes Yisrael B'dor Yahu Ha'aminu Sha'ashem Yizbarei Chofetz Behem. Who is Moshe? Moshe is the people. Moshe is the cloud. He's the unifying picture of the jigsaw puzzle of all the Shishim Riboy souls together. That's what Moshe is. He embodies the collective unified picture that represents the whole cloud in every detail. V'yaminu b'Hashem, they believed in Hashem of Moshe Avdoi, they believed in themselves. Who is themselves? Moshe Avdoi, that's Moshe. U'memele, gamkin to Moshe. If they really believed in themselves, they believe in Moshe. Why? Ashehu mamash heim. He is mamash them. If the Gemara says, calls Moshe Yisrael Nezufim on the Sacher Adibol Moshe. As long as the Jews were rejected by Hashem, the Dibur, Hashem did not speak exclusively with Moshe. Kamesha Kosaf, the Kamesha Kosaf of Makamach. I explained elsewhere. Kibachol, Chete Yisrael, Chate Gamkin, Moshe, Shehu Klolus. Any sin that the Jewish people ever committed, you'll see that Moshe did the same. Why? Because who is Moshe? Moshe essentially is the embodiment, the Nekuda of the Jewish people. Kamoy Be'egel. Let's take the Egel. They make the eagle. What does Moshe do? He takes the luchas, he breaks. Whoever heard? Some of us get into angry moods. Anybody who has a bad temper? You don't have to all raise your hands at once. But if anybody has a bad temper, your mama's in an angry mood. The shreisti am a shugana. Right? But I ask you, you're going to go to God in Kodesh and take out a Sefer Torah and start ripping it? Even when you're angry. Even when you're angry. Maybe you'll break your computer. I don't even think that. Maybe you'll throw your iPhone onto the ground. Probably not. Costs too much. But even if, yeah, you're really a wreck, you're uncontrollable, there's limits. You're not going to take a Sefer Torah and tear it. A regular Jew I'm talking about. The Luchas, most people, Moshe got angry. He's like, oh my God, this is crazy. Flach! What are you breaking the Luchas for? You don't want to give it to them. Hide it. Put it in your locker. Put it somewhere in Arsina. Give it back to Hashem. Was brechst du? Was brechst du? So the Sitkas HaTzadik is saying something here. Probably only he could say it, but I have to say, I saw this in one more place. The Helika Kamarna has a pirush on Megillus Esther. It's called Michtam Eifer. Anybody knows? The Kamarna has a pirush on Megillus Esther. On the Pasuk Vayavar Mordechai, he says the same thing. The Gemara says, in Mesechta Shabbos, Kuf Dalet maybe, HaMeshaber Kalim Bachamosoi, Keilu, Oivid Avoide Zara. Somebody who breaks Kalim in his wrath is Keilu Oivid Avoide Zara. So the Tzidkas HaTzadik is saying something very, very daring. Moshe is the Jewish people. The Jewish people are Moshe. When Moshe sees what the Jewish people have done, the question is, how can he elevate them? This is what the Kamarna writes. This is the famous Yisrael of the Baal Shem Tov, Shliach Tzibur, Kol Mi She'eino Mechuyev B'Davar Enei Moitzi Yisrael Yedechei Vosa. Type the Baal Shem Tov, somebody who's not guilty in something cannot take out the Rabban from their guilt. If I'm not ready to come down into your situation and be there with you, I can't schlep you out. You have a kid at risk. You have a youngster who has challenges. If you're not ready to go out of your mountain, go down from your mountain and go into his or her matziv and understand them and relate to them and embrace them, you will not be able to get them out of the mud. You have to get dirty. You can't remain a detached, objective, professional spectator. Moshe is the embodiment of that. Says the Kamana, how can he lift up Klal Yisro? He was on the mountain, they were even away the Zorah. What did he do? Meshaber Kela Machamosa. He breaks the Luchas. Kivayochel, Kivayochel. He experiences something of their downfall. He goes down with them. Now he can lift them up. Says the Tzidkas HaTzadik, every sin of the Jewish people in the Midbar, Moshe suddenly is going to have part in it. Even though he's a tzaddik, he's mifchamin enushi. And he continues. He says, V'hu mamish chet de'egel. Mamish chet de'egel, breaking the luchas. You're taking the Rebbeinu Shalom's luchas. You're smashing it. Not because he was angry. Because he was in love. Because he loved them. But now he continues. V'kisha'am aloi Hashem yeshikaychecha sheshibarta. When the Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe a few words, Shabbos Daf Pei Zayin, the last Rashi in the whole Chumash, Yashar Koychecha Sheshibarta, thank you for breaking. He knew if he's thanking me for breaking the Luchas, it means the Jewish people are also in a state of Yashar Koychecha. Because Sfiras HaLuchas was a mirror of Chetei. And perhaps this brought them to a much deeper place because now they could connect to God even in broken places. And now, whatever situation will happen throughout history, even the most broken situation, they'll be able to find the light of Hashem there. Bekivras HaTaiva. The Jews go crazy with indulgence for meat. Omar, he says, Atsoinu Boko Yishachet. Same thing. Where are you going to find meat? Suddenly, he's doing what they're doing. V'chein b'mei meriva. They're screaming about water. And Moshe, again, commits what would be, what we would call a sin. U'b'meraglim. Ha'yichete yashlichis. K'meshikos of shlach lo ledaitcha. The Meraglim revolt against Moshe. What does Moshe do? Hashem says, who asked you to send the Meraglim? He goes and he sends the Meraglim. He's responsible. This is not the place to go through every sin in the Midbar. We say, right? Trust me, Moshe always takes apart. He now goes back. You have to believe that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam craves and yearns and has tremendous nachas ruach from your goodness, from your holiness, from your neshama, from your guf, from all the toiv that's in you. Now the Tzidkas HaTzadik really is a Rashi, although in very different words. Rashi, Parshas Chukas, next week's Parsha, Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim, Ubamakam Acher Toil HaShlichus B'Moshe. Elsewhere it says, Moshe sent to set messengers to Sichem. HaKsuvim Alol Tzuchim Zel Ozeh Zed Noil V'Zeh Poiseyach. The Pesukim meet each other, one opens, one closes. Listen to Rashi's words. Moshe Hu Yisrael, V'Yisrael Hei Moshe. Loi Melech HaShem Nasi Ador U'Kechol Ador Ki HaNasi Hu Akol. Moshe is Israel, Yisrael HaMoshe. The Nasi of the dirt is like the dirt because the Nasi is Akol. What does it mean HaNasi Hu Akol? Korach understands this. Nobody exists besides the Nasi. He manipulates. Everyone is his object. What he missed the point was, we have the Menorah, not the pyramids. Shror ani noisim lechem, avdus ani noisim lechem. Why? the Nasi Hadar, the Rebbe of a generation, what is his contribution to the Jewish people? His contribution to the Jewish people is he's always in tune with the larger picture. He identifies, he himself transcends his own personal agenda and ego and is completely identified with the larger mission, the larger picture, which really unites all the Jewish people, because everyone is one piece in the jigsaw puzzle. Nobody can create their own picture. Each one makes a part of the picture. Together we recreate the whole picture. So in him, Klal Yisrael sees the nekuda of Achdus. Not because of what he has, because of what he doesn't have. Not because he has a bigger ego. Because on of Ma'id, he completely transcends personal interests. And what's his mission statement? What's his agenda? I'm here to serve you. I'm here to help you play your notes. I'm here to help you play your instruments. And each one to play their own instruments to fulfill that larger picture. That is his service. So is it Madua Tisnasu al Kahal Hashem? Through him you will feel more self-actualized, not subjugated. But for this you need an Anav Ma'id. Because if not, it really defeats. It defeats the entire purpose. So is Kairach right or Kairach was wrong? Ostensibly, he's great, beautiful. Really, he creates machlekes. You know what? People are not one. People are different. And how do we create a situation that our differences don't create fragmentation, as they often do in marriages, in families, in communities, in the world? Take a look at the news every day. How do we do that? Say we're not different? We are different. We're all different as individuals, as nations, as communities, as people. We're all different. You have Jews and non-Jews. You have nations. You have cultures. You have different sociological dynamics. You have different creatures. You have different people. You have men. You have women. Different talents, different levels. Everybody's different. For this, you need a person who himself or herself rises above the individual ego. Hanasi hu hakoil. This person dedicates his whole life to the hakoil, to be able to articulate to everybody the hakoil, that we're really one. And each of us plays our unique notes in the symphony of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So without a captain, a team can have brilliant players, but it won't be a team. Without generals, an army would be a mob. Without a government, a nation would lapse into anarchy. What does the pasuk say in Shoftim? B'yamim ha'ein melech b'Yisrael, ishkal ha'yoshev ein of Yasa. There's a social order in which each person has equal dignity in the eyes of heaven. The leader doesn't stand above the people. He serves the people because he serves God. He serves Hashem. That's the response to Kairach. I once read a very interesting story. There was a man named Herb Brooks. Rings a bell by anybody? Herb Brooks was the legendary coach. You remember him? Of the most famous U.S. ice hockey team in Olympic history. In 1980, his amateur group of skates somehow managed to do the impossible and achieve victory over the undefeatable Soviet Union team, the Russian team back in 1980 before communism fell. The Soviets have won the gold medal in the past 7 Winter Olympic Games. They were considered to be the dominant team. Nobody would be able to prevail over them. And Herb Brooks did the impossible. Until today, they call it the miracle on ice. So I once was curious how he managed to do this. Because he was given, it was a difficult team. They were immature. They were not integrated. He got young, inexperienced Americans. He got them over the line and he got them to win. The team was scattered. They didn't get along with each other. When a team doesn't get along with each other, I want you to fail, you want me to fail. They're competing against each other. It's impossible. So he worked them hard to the point that he worked them again and again to the point they felt they couldn't skate any longer. He had to practice again and again and again, night after night, till their legs couldn't bear it any longer, and then he had to practice again. And one of them turned to him and said, "How long will you torture us for?" And this was the moment where they would either revolt and say, you know, have a good day with somebody else, or they would become a team. And Brooks responded and he said these words. He said, "Until each player understands that the name on the front of the sweater is more important than the name on the back of the sweater." They got it. And he created as a result the miracle of ice. We all have the name on the back of the sweater. I have my name, you have your name. And it has to be that way. My name is not your name is not my name. But as long as the name on the front of the sweater is not more important than the name on the back of the sweater, as long as we don't recognize the team, as long as we don't recognize the big picture, then there's no way diversity can create unity. But if we recognize the name on the back of the sweater, and we also recognize that each name is indispensable to the name on the front of the sweater, so then it's like a conductor of an orchestra. The conductor, what does a conductor do? The conductor doesn't tell the violinist, "Shh, we want to hear the drummer." And he doesn't tell the celloist, "Shh, we want to hear the guitar." And he doesn't tell the pianist, "Why do you have to be different?" That's what the conductor does. The conductor cherishes the drummer and the violin and the cello and the harp, and appreciates every instrument's individual contribution, like he appreciates every note's contribution to the symphony. And yet, because he's a conductor, he brings it all together to create that heavenly resonance of the symphony. That's what a Jewish leader is. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is. This is what Koyach misunderstands. Madua tisnasu, avdus ani noisim achem. I'm here to be able to help everybody see the name on the front of the sweater. Ah, if this is the case, let's now go back to Shlomo HaMelech's Eruv Chatzeris that we make ad, that we make ad hayoyim hazeh. Where do we see this concept in Halacha? This concept in Halacha, fascinatingly, we see in the Halacha of Eruv. And let's see a line from Kabbalah, Mo'iri Yoyin of Reb Meir Papirash. It's an encyclopedia of Kabbalah according to the Aleph Beis. He says under Erev, Erev is a combination of Ayin Beis in the beginning and the end, and Yud Reish Vav in the middle. Zok Reb Meir, what is the numerology, the gematria of Reish Yud Vav of 216? Anybody knows? Gvura. What's the numerical value of 72? Chesed. So what is Erev? Erev is 72 Ayin Beis Chesed. In the middle you have Reish Yud Vav is Gvura. Erev is mixing. Chesed and Gvura become one word. What does this mean? What's the connection between an Erev and Chesed and Gvura? Comes the Tzemach Tzedek, and in the Sefer Oira Torah, Shir Hashirim Amud Taf Mem, he discusses a whole maimer on Netilas Yadayim and Erevin, and I quoted here a few lines. Now, the terminology is abstract. It's classic Kabbalistic and Chabad Hasidic terminology, which is abstract. But Be'ezer Hashem, I think, will be able to bring it down and apply it and understand it, at least some of it. Zok Tzemach Tzedek. Begam hinei mitzvus Erevin al derech zeh nitka. This is the inner meaning of Erevin. B'yoyish yadu, it's known. I'm going to read it and then explain. The shlita sachitzoynim v'gurushus harad dafka. The dominance of the chitzoynim the dominance of the chitzayim of the external forces is always in Rishus HaRabim, in the public domain. The Eila Makim Rishus HaYachid Amukaf Mechitzas. It has no place in Rishus HaYachid which has wall. Ki Rishus HaYachid Boikeya Mo'ila Adler Rakiya. The Halach in Masechet Shabbos is Rishus HaRabim only reaches 10 Tfachim. Above 10 cubits is not Rishus HaRabim anymore. It's called Makim Ptur. Rishus HaYachid Oila Adler Rakiya. Till the heavens is called Rishus HaYachid. And in halacha, that has major ramifications. Because if I throw something from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabim higher than 10 Tfachim, it's a whole different category in halacha. It's not a Rishus HaRabim. A Rishus HaYachid goes all the way to the heavens. What does this mean? So he says, Hainu Briach HaTichin HaMavriach Min HaKotze LaKotze. Because the Rishus HaYachid is the Briach HaTichin. It's the domain of oneness. It goes from the highest extreme to the lowest extreme. Rishus HaRabim stops at some point. When you have two Rishus HaYachid near each other, you're now in a quandary. On one hand, they're both private. On the other hand, each one is exclusive from the other. You won't have a lot of pirut, but you'll have a little period. You'll have a little separation here. Mipnei have the Rishuyah, Shnei Bnei Adam. I have my house with my walls, you have your house. Maybe right near each other, but there's still a little fragmentation. It's not one Rishus. So the Chachamim said, take bread and mix the courtyards, mix the houses together. It should become one house. And this unity will not allow the alien force to get any nurture from this separation. When you have two private domains, which are both Rishus HaYachid, but they're not one, so it's like Chesed and Gvura, which are not integrated. And then the chitzoinim can get nurture from it. There's room for something negative to emerge. What the Erev does is, it brings together two Rishus HaYachids, which is Chesed and Gvura, through the Erev, which is Kav HaMtsoi, which we call Tiferes, the middle line, which integrates Chesed and Gvura. What is the Tzemach Tzedek explaining here? He's taking the domains of Shabbos and Halacha, and he's explaining them from a spiritual, psychological, and emotional point of view, which is what Kabbalah and Chassidus always does. Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid are not just two domains. You have Fifth Avenue, or you have a street which is 16 amas wide, and according to some opinions, 600,000 people walking. And Rishus HaYachid is a private domain which has three walls. It's private. Obviously, that's the basic halachic definition without getting into the nuanced complexities here. But they each represent something. Rishus HaRabim represents a domain where there's a Rabim. There's no achdus, there's no oneness. You are you, I am I, and we're completely fragmented. Just like it's literally Rishus HaRabim. I'm always fascinated. I know many of you have escaped to Muncie for the quiet and the privacy. I go to Manhattan, and I'm just standing on the street and watching. And you have hundreds of thousands of people walking back and forth every moment. And the fascinating thing is, everybody's thinking about something else. But more than that, everyone is confident and certain that what they're thinking about, that is the most important issue going on in the world right now. One person just got divorced. One person is about to get married. One person just made $42 million because he brokered a deal on 42nd Street. And the other one just lost a similar amount of money because he lost the deal. One just got into a major fight with his wife. One just made up with his wife. One person is healthy and celebrating, and one person feels terrible. One is happy and one is depressed. One is dealing with this headache and one with this headache, this appointment, that appointment. Most of them are, of course, on their iPhones or texting, bumping into everybody. And although we're bumping into each other, we're not unified. And I'm the only Meshuggah who's thinking about everybody else. And the only reason I'm doing it is because I need to give a drasha. Not because I'm so selfless. I'm analyzing the matzah. But that's what Rishus HaRabim means. You can have in the same house with Rishus HaRabim. It means everyone is going their own way. There's no language, there's no trust, there's no cohesiveness. But it stops Once you hit higher than 10 tefachim, that's it. Because the Shulchan Aruch is a product of a world where oneness is concealed. The Gemara says in Sukkah Dav, hey, may oilam loyar the Shechina lamata me'asara. The Shechina is above 10. That's why the first, how do you know that a Sukkah has to be minimum 10 tefachim high? How do you know? So the Gemara says in Sukkah Dav, hey, there's a few limudim, but the first one is, the Shechina never came down below Asara. Rabbi Yossi says, the Shechina never came down below Asara. So what's the connection to Sukkah? What's the connection to Sukkah? So the Sfasemis writes, very powerful word. There's different interpretations. Rashi probably means something, has a different shot. Sfasemis says as follows, the Gemara says in Sukkah Dav Tesam and Aleph, Chag L'Hashem K'Shem Shechol Shem Shemayim Ala Chagiga. The sukkah has chloy shem shemayim. That's why you're not allowed to benefit from the schach throughout sukkahs, because the shem shemayim ala sukkah. There's the name of God on the sukkah, the kedusha of the sukkah. Says it's fasemes. That's what the Gemara means. If the sukkah is going to be lower than 10, the shechina won't be able to come down. So that's why you have to have the schach above 10, and therefore the shechina can come down. So Rosh Hashanah stops by 10. What about Rishus HaYachid? Rishus HaYachid is the domain where we sense Achdus. Yichidoi Shel Olam, the oneness of the world. So it's Oila Adler Rakia. From heaven all the way down. Because once you sense the oneness is everywhere. Ein Oid Milvado. From the highest place to the lower place, it's all Rishus HaYachid. On Shabbos, you don't take out from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabbi. Because what's the whole idea of Shabbos? What's the whole idea of Shabbos? That the world is a Rishus HaYachid. Which explains, Al Pi Chassidus, the great question of Tosfos. Which question? Why does Masechta Shabbos start off with Yitzias HaShabbos? In the seventh parak of Shabbos, which malach is carrying? Which number in the 39? 39! So why does Masechta Shabbos start off with number 39? So what does Tosfos answer? Carrying is not a real malach, you're not doing anything. So therefore we have to start with that. But there's also a deeper interpretation. Haitzah represents Shabbos. All the malachis are part of Haitzah. There's a medrash rabbi. A min after Rabbi Akiva. Does God do all the mitzvahs? Rabbi Akiva said, yeah. So he said, how does it rain on Shabbos? He plants. So Rabbi Akiva says, how does he blow winds on Shabbos, carry leaves? Rabbi Akiva says, in your house you're allowed to carry? Kol ha'olam rishusayi. So the Mepharshim say, excuse me, in your house you're allowed to plant? In your garden you're allowed to... Rishusayachid explains that you're allowed to carry, not that you're allowed to cook, and not that you're allowed to bake, and not that you're allowed to make fires, and not that you're allowed to rain, and not that you're allowed to plow, and not that you're allowed to grow. How does it answer, Rabbi Akiva? You covered one malacha. Is not the pshat, the Baal HaTanya says this in Lekut HaTorah Tazriya, that Haitzah is the essence of all the malachas. It's taking out the world from Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim. Denying the Achdus HaBriya, which is what Shabbos represents. 6 days you work, you create, everyone in their own world, Sheishas Yavim Tavit, you do your thing, I do my thing. Shabbos is oneness. We don't create, we acknowledge that we're one. Any malach is taking out from Rishus HaYachid conceptually. That's why it's the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. That's Rishus HaYachid. So it's two paradigms. But now you have two Rishus HaYachids. Ah, this is Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. You have two Eden. They're both Rishus HaYachids. But I got my house, and you got your house. This, he says, it's not Rishus HaRabim. It's Achdus. But everyone has their own Rishus HaYachid. I'm Chesed, you're Gvura, you're Tiferet, you're Netzach, you're tall, he's short, you have this gift, I have that gift, I have this Geshmak, you have this Geshmak, I have this Natiya, you have this Natiya, I have this characteristic, you have this characteristic, I have the name in the back of the sweater. Says it's a Machzedek, it could be Ktsas Pirut, fragmentation, because there's diversity, there's distinctiveness. A husband and a wife, they're not the same. Parents and children, siblings, they were once the same, but they're not the same anymore. Now, take it one step deeper. The Gemara says, Rashi brings, Koyrach shepikich hoya maro lishtuzu. Torah was brilliant. Why did he do such a stupid thing? I want to ask a klutz kasha. How did Chazal know he was brilliant? Maybe he was an idiot. It says somewhere in Torah, Korach, Pekachaya. How did they know he was brilliant? Maybe he was a shoiter. The pshat, of course, is from the story you see that he was a wise man. What's the wisdom in his vart? So Torah Saksidus explains that Korach's taina was very profound. He said, one second. I ask you a question. We're diversified, right? Yeah. But I want to ask you a question. You look at a family, there's many siblings. They may be scattered. They may not even be on speaking terms with each other. Let me ask you. They were once one in the womb of their mother. Avada. They all come from their mother's body, their father's body. Over there, there was oneness. Later, it came out separate. She said, I have a question. Where was the whole world before? It was not in the womb of Hashem. It was all in Hashem. On some abstract, transcendent level, however you want to define it. He is the source of it all. And he's the mama, he's the tata. Let's take the world back to the source. Korach shepikechaya. What's pikach? The Gemara says, Ezo chacham, haroya, sanoilet. What's that haroya sanoilet? So we say the one who sees the future. Raya Samayilat literally means he sees that which is born now. Korach says, let's look. Haraya Samayilat, look at the world as it's being born. See the source. And in the source, it's one. Maduat is Nasu. There's no Moshe, there's no Aaron, there's no Kohen Gadol. There's no Levim, there's no Yisrael. Hashem has parts. Chas v'shalom. Achdus, where's Moshe? Where's Aaron? Where am I? Where's you? Where are you? All one, Hashem Echad, Gevaldik. Korach shepikechai. Very deep chachma. But Korach is wrong. You know why? He's right. In the source, he's right. In the source, he's right. But the Rebbeinu Shalom created a world that he wanted, that from Rishus Hayochid, there should be Rishus Harabim, and that we should be Megala, Rishus Hayochid in Rishus Harabim, to make from Rabim one. I can't deny today that there's differences and say, in God we're one and therefore we're one. It's not true to the story of creation. When the Avodah finishes, when Mashiach comes, what does it say in Yirmiyah? V'loyalamdu oidish esreyeyu. Why? Ki kulam yedu oisi lemektanam v'adgidoylam. Nobody will have teachers anymore. Why do you have to teach? Why do you have to learn from somebody? Ki kulam yedu oisi. Was the Bisbeinike lekus v'atzveiter? You're less rooted in God than somebody else. But you can't create a reality of Mashiach in a time when there is diversity and deny the fabric of creation, and as a result of that, not do the avodah that brings to this achdus. So you have Rishus HaRabim, you have Rishus HaYochid, and you have different Rishus HaYochids. And this can create fragmentation and separation because you have your avodah, I have my avodah. And for me to be able to create space for you and space for me is very difficult. Come Shloima HaMelech. Who's Shloima HaMelech? You remember what they told Rechavim about it? What the Malchus is? You want to be like your father? Im ata tiyeh hayoyim Ebet. And he institutes Erev Chatzeres. What's Erev Chatzeres? He says we're going to collect bread. And we're going to put it in one home. And therefore we're going to identify, as the Shulchan Aruch Harav said, everyone's machshava is in that home. We're all extensions of that home. What does this represent spiritually? It's the notion of taking all the Rishus HaYochids and identifying that ultimately they're all one. They're different, but they're one. And they become one through their differences. Just like a symphony, and just like a body, and just like an orchestra. We become one because we're different. I contribute my note, you contribute yours. I give mine and you give yours. You give your instrument, I give mine, and a symphony is created. A jigsaw puzzle is created. An organism, a life is created, as we explained. But for that, you have to get the bread from each. You have to place it in one home. And that home captures the essence. And each of them are extensions. I still go back to my house. I have my my bed and you have your bed. I have my living room, I have my library, I have my shtick, and you have your shtick. You have your idiosyncrasies, I have my idiosyncrasies. Hopefully you worked it out with your better half. But it's still one bias. That's Eilu B'Chatzeres. Who instituted it? Shlomo HaMelech. How did he institute it? By identifying the bread, the oneness, the achdus. Even lo amazeh, that's the function of the Rebbe, of the Melech, of the real Manig Yisrael. So what does the Baskel say? The Baskel says, B'ni, Im chacham lebecha yismach li b'gamani. What's the connection? So let's see the last source, Chidushei Arim, Parshas Korach. Machloikes shal Korach nikre chatzeres. We go back to the beginning of the shir. Why does Rashi define Korach as chatzeres? What does chatzeres mean? Courtyards, that's Korach. Courtyards without an Eiv. That's Korach. Courtyards without an Eiv. Tuck the Kiddush Erdin. Ta'amru Chazal b'shar shetikin shloim ha'malech yudu v'chatzeres yotza baskob amrim chachamni v'koshem ma'achoch me'yesh beidu v'chatzeres. Vos is the chachma v'nire. The chacham einov b'roi shoy v'roi tachlis kol dover. Pasuk says the Chacham has his eyes on his head. Everyone has their eyes on their head, hopefully. But what it means is he sees the purpose. He has vision. He sees the ultimate goal. He sees the bigger picture. Chacham ein b'roisha. B'roya tachlis kol davar. U'kesha'odam davar b'tzadik emes. Yochel hulalus l'madregas ha'tzadik. So when a person is connected to a tzadik emes, and of course the emphasis is on MS, so he becomes part, he has an aliyah to the state of the tzaddik. V'zeh tikin shloim ha-melech olav ha-sholom shel kazay yishyesh b'dei echot yichoylim litzadif anoshim harbe ulitaltu b'chol ha-mekoymes v'kulam le'echot mechshav. What did shloim ha-melech institute? There's a kazay yish of bread in one house. It's only in one house, and yet everybody is considered part of it, and everyone is combined through it, and everyone can carry in the whole courtyard and into each other's house. They're all one through the bread in this home. Vayikach Korach says the Targum on the opening of the parsha. Korach split v'ispala from the word piluk. He split himself away, created a split. Korach did not believe a person could connect to a tzaddik. Every Jew ultimately remains alone. I am I, and you are you, and the twins shall not meet. Ultimately, everyone lives a solitary life. And he turns to Moshe and he says, Madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. What does he not acknowledge? The gift of Nimtzeh shaloi hoyde be'eriv. V'nishar chatzeriv b'li eriv. Pidush kemoi botli ha-chatzarim she'en l'nchoyma l'fichach nikr mokam machli kosli chatzeriv. What he doesn't acknowledge is the idea of eriv chatzeriv. And the broader explanation to expand this insight of the Chiddush Harim is what Korach doesn't acknowledge is the true role of Moshe of a Rebbe, who represents that piece of bread in one home, but ultimately combines everybody into one. Because Moshe Yisrael identifies to each of us that there's really a Nekudas Ha'achdus that we all come from and we all play out through our individuality. But I could look at the diversity and I see oneness in the diversity, through the diversity. That's the gift of Eiruv Chatzeres. Who does this? Where is the bread? So I ask you, in the Midbar, who did the bread come in Huschus? The man was Moshe's gift. Moshe is called always in Zohar, Raya Mehenne. The shepherd, the one who gives the bread, the Lechem and Hashemayim, the man,
is Bischus Moshe. He represents the home that holds that kazayis, that bread that everyone is connected to, everyone is part of. How can he do that? Because he embodies the name in the front of the shirt, beyond the ego. Avdus ani noisam lechem. And then there's dveikus in the tzaddik, and automatically there's dveikus with everybody else. Because what is the tzaddik? The klal, the nekudas ha'achdus, the nekudas of elokus, the nekuda of divine unity in everybody. Kairach screams achdus, but really everybody remains alone. To go back to the source of the womb, we can't do that. I can't make believe the world wasn't created. You have yourself. What do you do with yourself? Kill yourself? How are we going to make believe the world wasn't created? We were created. There's Metzius. Now you have to find Hashem in Metzius, in diversity, in reality. So Korach screams, I don't want categories, I want everybody one. In reality, create the biggest machloikas. Because we're different. And when we scream, we're not different. When we find out we're different, we fight each other. Sometimes we kill each other. To be able to identify that we're different. But in Moshe Rabbeinu we're one, that's Eruv Chatzeres. Which of the attributes represents this Nekuda? This is what Chachmah is. HaChacham Eino V'roishon. To be able to see the bigger picture, to be able to see the purpose. Chachmah says the Tanya is Koyach Ma. What does Moshe say on himself? V'nachnu Ma. Kisalinu Alin. Ma, what am I? Chachma is the ma, the ability to wonder, to ask. It's going beyond the ego. It's the curiosity. Chachma is always the flash of wisdom, the intuition that comes into you. Above your mind, when you open yourself up to something higher, Chachma is the ability for bittul, Chachma is the ability to transcend your individual track and see your own bigger picture. When Shloimeh instituted, Erevin, the Baskel says, Im Chacham B'di, to be able to be Megala, the Achdus, even in Rishus HaYochid, Yismach Libi Gamoni, this creates the greatest Simcha. What creates joy in life? We see Simcha Pirates together. When people are happy, they hug each other, they're close to each other. Simcha removes boundaries. Sometimes there's people, it's a pastor for you to go over to them and shul and speak to them. But at your daughter's chasana, your daughter's chasana, even before you say Alechayim, you hug, you kiss, you embrace. Why? Simcha opens up people to deeper places. When you open up to deeper places, you see that we're not so disconnected. We're really one. That's what Erevin accomplished. And Bekitzin Nimrit Natilas Yadayim says that Tzemach Tzedek is a similar Nekuda. And very, very Bekitzin, what's water? Water is very unique. Water doesn't have a color. What's the color of water? Water doesn't have a color. It adopts every color. You put water in a green bowl and it looks green. In a blue bowl, it looks blue. So the color of water represents, you'll ask, your child asks you, what is, there's a book, it's a sad book, it's called The Color of Water. African-American boy, his mama was a Yiddish Meidel. She was molested by her uncle, I think in the 1930s, the 1940s. And she left her home and Jewish faith, and she married a black man. And she had, I believe, 12 children, all Yiddish Kinderlach, or what we would call black Americans. Her husband died very young. I think she married a priest, a black priest. Very courageous woman. And they lived in poverty there were gangs there. She got all of her kids through college. And one of them is a writer for the New York Times, and he wrote a book about his mother's history called The Color of Water. And in the book he describes, he was having a conversation with his mother as a little kid. She was the only white woman in the neighborhood. And he asked her, he said, you know, is God black or white? Does he look like Tati, Daddy, or does he look like Mom? So she said, God doesn't have a color. So he said, how could God not have a color? She said, he's like the color of water. She was Mechavim, the Pardis in Kabbalah. Mayim is a dogma for the Oirin Soiv, the energy of Hashem, which is, it's not defined. It takes on colors. Chesed, Vura, Tiferes have colors. Chesed is blue. Vura is red, Tiferes is yorik, green or yellow. Everyone has a color in Kabbalah. But Shema Avaya, Shema Etzem, it's colorless, it's the color of water. The hands represent the midos. It says in Tikkunei Zohar in the introduction, Chesed, Roya Yemina, Vura, Roya Smola. The right arm is Chesed, the left arm is Vura. Those are the two primary emotions, attraction, rejection, love, discipline, closeness, faith. When you're eating, Lechem is Milosh Melchama. Because eating is always a war. Because food is a complicated thing. On one hand, there's divine sparks in the food. On the other hand, the food can also schlep you down. Depends on the manner in which you're eating. If the food belongs to you, or you belong to the food. If you will elevate the food, or the food will control you. And we all know there's different ways of eating. You can go check it out in the tent nearby. You see, some people, they're slaves of the food, and some people, they see the food from a higher point of view, and on the contrary, they appreciate the nitzitz to the food, the potential of the food. They have a relationship with the food. So before you're going to go eat, netilas yadayim means to pick up your hands. You take water. Water is the undefined unity. And you lift up your hands, you pour water on your hands, meaning you connect the undefined unity of Hashem with the defined individuality of your life, just like Eruv Chatzeres. Hashem is one. Water, it's undefined. There's no separate Rishus HaYachid. It's all one. Hashem is not Chesed, Hashem is not Gvura. But it trickles down into our world, which is based on diversity and individuality. Eruv Chatzeres is Megala the Achdus, collectively. Netilas Yadayim is before you eat. You connect your individuality to the higher level of water, Netilas Yadayim. When Shloime the Melech, the Eved, instituted these two things, the Baskel came out and said one statement, and that is, Bni, my son, im chacham libecha, when your heart demonstrates such chachma, yismach libi gam ani. Ultimately, you achieve that which Kibayachal Hashem couldn't achieve. Meaning, He created us to achieve, and that is to connect the world of oneness with the world of diversity. Have a wonderful week.